phone number 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on the phone. Love to talk to you. Hope you had a great weekend and got out and enjoyed the 96 degree temperatures. My man Dalton said you're going to try to get a base burn.
Yeah, you know, it's June, beginning of June. I think it's about time I get out there in the sunlight and burn my base so that I can, you know, burn more later this year. Hopefully.
So no base tan for you.
Oh, I do not tan.
It's a base burn.
If I'm lucky, you know, it's kind of like rolling the dice. I mean, it's 50-50. Well, rolling the dice would be a little different odds than 50. It's kind of like flipping a coin. I will burn, and then more than likely I will freckle after that. Mm-hmm. But every now and then I get a little bit darker, and then I become the normal shade of darkness for a normal person rather than as pale as I normally am. So I got to get out there and burn and then see where the summer leads me after that.
All right. A lot to do this hour. You can talk about your base burn or your base tan or whatever you did this weekend. Plus, speaking of this weekend, WEAR out of Pensacola reporting Congressman Matt Gaetz reportedly assaulted Saturday afternoon following a town hall that he had hosted. Police say a drink was thrown at Gaetz's back. Remember Gaetz, who at least toyed or had his people toy with the idea that he was going to move to Alabama to run for Senate 2020?
Mm-hmm. He was going to hop the border there?
Yes. The police say a drink was thrown at Gaetz's back as he was leaving the Brouhaha restaurant where the Won't Back Down town hall was held. Amanda Lee Kondratyev, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, 35 years old, was arrested in connection with the incident. Police believe she threw a drink at Gaetz. She's been charged with battery. By the way, back in 2016, Kondratyev ran against Gaetz for the congressional seat, along with Chris Dosev and Mark Wykern. So, threw a drink. I don't know, like I put on Twitter, it doesn't, nobody said whether it was a milkshake or not. Remember this thing going on in the United Kingdom and all that with the milkshaking people?
Yes.
They are, which if y'all haven't seen these stories, if you just search for it, a political protest, they go up to an elected official or somebody running for office and they throw a milkshake on them. And they described in that story some pretty delicious milkshakes. I mean, if I was going to have a beverage thrown on me that I could then like clean up and taste a little bit. I mean, milkshake.
Yeah, I mean, the one that happened in the UK last week or the week before, that was a five, I think they came out and said that was a Five Guys milkshake.
It was salted caramel and what, something?
It sounded fantastic.
They described the kind of milkshake that was used. And
that's the new thing where, and it's only happening to right-wing politicians. Mm-hmm. You got these left-wing protesters throwing milkshakes. I think the first milkshaking, and we'll have to go back and look, or milkshook.
We still have not figured out how to use it as a verb, an active verb, a past part, milkshaken.
Mm-hmm.
He was milkshaken?
Yeah, milkshook. Either way, the first one happened in Australia, I think, at the beginning of, or it may have been late last year. That was the first milkshaking that I had heard of. And then it happened in the UK recently. But this is the first one here in America that's made national news, a politician getting milkshook. And they are saying that it was a milkshake that was thrown at him.
Oh, they are now saying it's milkshake.
That's what they're saying.
Okay, see, they didn't detail that in the EAR story. And I was... So it was a milkshake.
They're saying that it was a milkshake, and Amanda Lee Kondratyev, she was charged with battery since then. So.
Yes. Delicious cookie dough batter.
That's right.
I mean, if you're going to throw... You know what? You just look... Even though it's people like, that makes me so angry. You know, you get a milkshake thrown on your suit, you're not happy. But you look over the weekend, what happened in Sudan, and it's happening all over this planet... And you doubt that we still, even with all our issues to work through, live in the best nation on planet Earth. If you doubt that, you need to do a little tour through the news stories. But, you know, I'd take somewhere that they go after a politician with a milkshake versus a firearm.
But there's, you know, I've seen some more discussion on this, and I'd like to know where you stand, because I've seen some stand up against the milkshakings. The people that are behind, that back
these people. Battery, yeah. You're not allowed to throw stuff on people.
It's illegal, but there's a lot of people that say, you know, these are people in power, these are politicians, and every now and then they deserve to have a milkshake thrown on them.
That's a cop-out.
And that they're just, you know, speaking truth to power. But then there's other people who say, this is actually a security issue.
Yeah.
If someone's able to get close enough where they can douse you with a milkshake that they could get close enough to do other things that could cause more harm, they could assassinate somebody. If they're close enough to throw a milkshake on them, then some real harm could be done. So should they, you know, punish these people who throw milkshakes on politicians more than just with a simple assault or battery, get them with something else?
No, because when we start in this in this country, we start saying this is could be like such and such. Now, laws should prosecute what the thing is, mm-hmm. not what it could be like. This goes back to, okay, let's talk about the outrage over the Mueller report, right? The idea that President Trump wanted to fire people, mm-hmm. but he didn't. And people say, well, him just wanting to do it
right.
are grounds for impeachment. No, you have to do the thing. Yeah, listen, do I think, I mean, there are some acolytes of President Trump that will find no fault anywhere with it. Do I find that conversation bothersome? Yes, I do. But he did not do, if he would have fired somebody who was investigating, sure, now we have grounds. He did not.
Right.
That was detailed in the Mueller report. It seems to be skipped over there. The same way, even though, you know, you say, well, it's conservative politicians getting the most. I don't care. You get the letter of the law. Keep them. I do agree with the security forces ought to have a foot put in backside.
Right.
That they're not, you know, taking a milkshake for their person they're defending. but at the same time saying, well, they could have been using a gun, but they didn't.
Right.
Okay, they used a milkshake. You still prosecute, you do the things, but you can't say, oh, well, this, it could be like, it's not.
It's become such a big issue. We were talking about Nigel Farage who got hit with that. It was a banana and salted caramel shake from Five
Guys.
That
sounds good.
That's what he got hit with in Newcastle. They were actually asking.
Man, that sounds good.
The police asked the McDonald's in Edinburgh, Scotland, to stop selling milkshakes because they were worried they would be thrown on Nigel Farage. So the next time Matt Gaetz makes his way through Pensacola, do you think they're going to go around and ask the different fast food
restaurants?
People
are going to be pushing for milkshake control.
Mm-hmm. Milkshake control. That's what's up next.
Now, we'll talk a bit about gun control on a serious note with just another senseless loss of life there in Virginia Beach. You look at this, although formulaic, hate to say it, but you have, it's mostly dudes in middle age. Mm-hmm. Not always. There's young dudes as well, but mostly dudes in middle age that go on these shooting spree. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam is facing his first major test of leadership since scandal forced him out of office 4 months ago. The Democratic governor appears determined to project that he's up to the task and has been active in helping respond to a mass shooting in Virginia Beach that has left 12 people dead. Here's a full story from Bill Michaels with Westwood One.
Mournful but resilient. A grieving community in Virginia Beach is remembering the 12 people who lost their lives in Friday's workplace shooting. Dave Hansen is the Virginia Beach city manager.
Our recovery is underway. Our grieving is underway.
Meanwhile, authorities are releasing new information about the attack, saying the first shots were fired outside the city building. The shooter's first victim was a contractor in the parking lot and a woman on her way out of the building. Then they say he headed up to the second floor and shot indiscriminately until he was fatally wounded in a long gun battle with police. Virginia Beach Police Spokesman Jim Cervera.
Although I do not have the exact number of rounds that the perpetrator fired, it was well into the double digits.
Authorities also revealing the gunman resigned hours before the mass shooting via email and clarifying 40-year-old Dwayne Craddock was neither fired nor was at risk of being fired. His motives remain unclear, but the gunman's family released a statement saying their thoughts and prayers with those who lost their lives, as family and employees are left wondering what may have triggered him. Joseph Scott worked with the shooter.
He was pleasant to be around. And when I last saw him, which was just before this incident happened, he wished me to have a good weekend.
I'm Bill Michaels.
All right, so there is a story that, once again, you just leave you scratching your head, no motive, but I'll say it does fit the MO of a lot of these workplace shootings, age-wise and all that. I don't know what to do because people will say, well, you know, where were the signs? They said there were no signs.
Mm-hmm.
He had not been fired. His guns that he owned, they said he owned legally. Now there's a talk, and you heard the news report earlier that he had a suppressor
right.
that he was using. People say, well, we need to, you know, crack down on suppressors. Well, right now to get a suppressor is a lengthy process. Okay, you have to have a tax stamp. You can have an individual, or you can have a build it through a trust, family trust, and it is, it's not, you can't just go buy a suppressor.
Right.
And that was kind of spun by the news over the weekend, like, well, you just go get one. You know, no, you don't. You don't. You have to go through quite a few steps, and that suppressor then is linked to you or this family trust that owns a suppressor. You know, it's would that have kept, if that guy didn't have a suppressor, would he have not done this horrible thing? And I can, you know, can only guess at this point, because I don't know what's in somebody like that's mind, but I would say he would have still done it.
Yeah, I'm sure that the conversation will turn towards suppressors. I mean, you can almost, as soon as something like this happens, you can chart out what the next few days and the weeks will look like, mm-hmm. as far as the discussion around guns. But there needs to be a discussion about mental health. And like you said...
But how do you... They said he had no signs.
Exactly. The city of Virginia Beach, right now, they're saying they didn't think that he was this kind of guy. The city manager, Dave Hansen, he said they're going to review... Craddock's personnel file, and had it, to this point, their review of it said it has revealed no problems. They said he was in good standing with his department, no issues of discipline ongoing. But listen to how chilling this is, because that morning, like you said, he put in his 2-week notice to quit. But that day, right before the shooting, there was a city engineering technician, Joseph Scott, who worked with Craddock, who said he saw Craddock there in the building brushing his teeth in the office bathroom, and they exchanged pleasantries. He said, hi, how you doing? Any plans for the weekend? And that was pretty much it. Then they went their separate ways. And then not long after that is when officers received the call that there was an active shooter in the building.
Wow. Wow. 818 FM Talk 106.5. We'll get your reaction to that. Plus, we'll talk about what they did and didn't get done during regular session in Montgomery. Phone number, text line 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. I've had some time over the last week or so to assemble the junk in the Sullivan House, to identify and assemble the junk, because it's going to be time for a trip from Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And listen, they can go grab the junk for, if you got junk somewhere that you physically don't feel like you should be going to, like up the creaky attic ladder stair thing with the springs that are ding, ding, it sounds like they're about to burst. Number one, they can go do that. If you have stuff that you don't know where to take it, you know it doesn't go in the garbage, you know it doesn't go in big trash, they can handle that as well. If you have stuff outside the house, maybe, I mean, stuff like a swing set, I mean, big things you can't physically move, don't know where to take it, they can handle that as well. And if that's true at your office or your shop or even a storage building, if you got junk and you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey, a local franchisee for the last 11 years, working in Mobile and Baldwin County, residential properties, commercial properties, and ready to hear from you, too. All you have to do is go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and make that appointment time. And it's really cool because they actually give you a day and a time, and that's when they're there, and they'll quote you a price. And if you say yes, they get right to work and get it done. Once again, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also, heads up here, Gator season registration opens tomorrow. So put your name in.
You want to go, don't you? That's right. Never went out gator hunting before.
And I'm going to take you, and I'll put in, and I'll take you if I get it. But if you need to put your name in as well, because
mm-hmm.
you build point. The more years you don't get drawn now, they've changed the system over the last couple of years with the new crew at DCNR, which are a bunch of great folks. You accrue points. So each year you don't get drawn, it gives you a better chance the next year. You get put in twice, get put in three times, get put in four times. So you build your chances as you go forward.
A better and better chance.
Yes.
Anybody have any issues with the way that works? I'm sure there's people out there.
No, that's the best. And that's the system used around the country for a lot of things. That way, it was like an open deal for a long time. People pile in tons of money and mm-hmm. buy as many entries as they could. And they changed it now to where you can put in once per zone in the state. And then if you don't get drawn, the next year you'll have two entries. You don't get drawn. The next year you get three entries. You know, and so eventually the formula would work. You would think that at some point before you have to battle the gator from a rocking chair, that you'd get drawn and be able to go. So there you go. That's up. I'll talk more about that later on. And also, it is Fishing and Boating Week.
Mm-hmm.
Culminates on Saturday with Free Fishing Day. Coming up on Midday Mobile today at 1, we'll talk about Fishing and Boating Week with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. Not just talking about fish and boats, which like two of my favorite subjects, but the economic impact of this along the Gulf Coast is just, y'all, I've rolled the numbers out here before. I'll save them for 1 o'clock again today when y'all hear what it means, like this last weekend where we had opening of snapper season, what that, just that Saturday and what just Sunday meant to the state in revenue, to private businesses and in tax revenue. It is staggering. If you've not paid attention to this, wait till you hear this coming up at 1.
Yeah, I never can believe the numbers. I love when Scott Bannon comes on, too, because, you know, learn all about the Marine Resources Division there in Alabama. He's always got something going on, and I love how this Free Fishing Day comes the second Saturday of snapper fishing season. Imagine how diabolical that would have been to have Free Fishing Day last Saturday before snapper season opened. So,
well, they got the rest of the state, that the other 65 counties that are, like, you know, freshwater fishing.
Right.
All that
boring stuff.
That's right. Oh, speaking of the other counties, so how did the whole bunch of them do in this legislative session? Just wrapped up on Friday, regular session. Running list here of what was approved, what wasn't approved, and get your reaction on this as well. Of course, gas tax was the first thing up, and that wasn't even regular session. Remember, they gaveled into regular session, gaveled out, and gaveled into a special session. Showing y'all, wherever you stand on this gas tax, if they have their mindset and the political will there is, in other words, the bully pulpit of the governor's mansion and others have been put into motion, things can get passed and can get passed very quickly. Notice that? How quickly the gas tax, it was, what, 2.5 weeks and it was done? Compare that to other things in regular session. So, yeah, gas tax, then they got the abortion ban done. Wait to see if that has a lawsuit pending on it, if that's the one that's going to make its way in front of the Supreme Court one day. Third grade reading, I thought, was interesting. They passed legislation making sure that third graders can read at certain different benchmarks before they move to the fourth grade. To me, that should have already been a thing.
Yeah, I thought
that it was. Not taking a teacher down the road having to teach something that should have been learned before then.
And third grade is early enough where it's not like you're being held back your junior year of high school.
Correct.
You're going to be able to fall in with whatever group, whatever grade you fall back to, and then and go the rest of your education career with that group. So third grade seems just the right spot.
Yeah, I won't say anything about some of the teams we played in football when I was growing up, but as a nose guard, and I'd line up and I'd look over at the center and the two guards, and they all had mustaches.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was about to hurt a lot on that first play.
Yeah, we had several in my school exhaust their eligibility to play sports because they were too old by the time they were seniors in high school.
So, yeah, let's get that done when they're young. Also, speaking of education, pay raises for teachers, other state employees went through. Public school employees, teachers get a 4% raise. State employees across the board get a 2% raise. That parole board issue we talked about a bunch, where the parole board was paroling people for a variety of reasons, and really there were not many measures that could be used to control that until the governor put a stay on it. Now, this bill that passed makes multiple changes at the state parole board, and the governor now can dismiss any of the parole board members at will. The board is also autonomous. They hire their director. That may be changing as well. Also, good, finally, as long as it's equal work, I am all for equal pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just fairness. And we now have a law on the books here. Kelly's talked about it a bunch for equal pay, and that went through. The jail food bill. Remember the sheriff in Alabama that had, I think he bought himself a beach house with money out of the, I think, right, money out of the jail food fund? Listen, the majority of sheriffs that run the jails in counties all around the state wanted this to pass. This puts the money from the jail food funds into its own fund that can only be used for jail food. Imagine that. A couple more things that passed and some that didn't when we come back, plus your calls and text at 343-0106.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 835 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Let's go over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, we're doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. The month of May is over. The end-of-month deals at McConnell Automotive live on. Tell us more about this, Mitch.
Well, heck, Dalton, you know, I told you off-air, I wasn't even 100% sure, but, you know, first of all, we want to thank everybody on the Gulf Coast for having helping us have one of the best months we've had in a long, long time. And one of the ways I'm hoping I'm going to thank everybody listening is by extending those May deals, Dalton, through tonight. We had 0%, as an example. We had huge rebates on the new 2019 truck. They were given sometimes, you know, 8, 9, 10. I think one truck we had, Dalton, $12,000 off an AP4 2019 truck, which is kind of unheard of discount. Big discounts, I think up to 11% off Yukons and Denali. So what I want everybody to do is call us. Come see us and do it today, because if these deals did go one more day, the reason we sold so many, Dalton, is because people knew how great the deals were. So check the website out, McConnellAutomotive.com, and hopefully take advantage of one more chance.
That's some good stuff. You can't beat what's going on at McConnell Automotive right now. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Man, we really appreciate y'all, Dalton. Take care, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5 phone number, text line 343-0106. Yeah, Paul texted in about that third grade issue, and he's right. He had brought up that Sheriff Cochran, in one of his conversations with me, had said there's a crime stat that I think children that can't read by the third grade or something, the stats for them becoming incarcerated go through the roof. So that one is obviously important, and you're right. I mean, you don't deal with stigma and all that if you can get children, you know, caught up while they're still young instead of older. So I mean, I'm surprised that it wasn't already the law. I mean, if you're going to have public education, you know, and compulsory public education, demanding the children can read by third grade, good for the legislature.
Yeah, and on its face, you know, you wouldn't think that not being able to read, you know, that it would affect a child later in life.
Yes.
But those incarceration numbers that the sheriff laid out for us, must have been months ago that he started bringing this up. It really, if you start to think about it, if you start to fail early in your career, start to fail in school, and start to find yourself behind the rest of the kids, that could probably have a huge mental effect on you for the rest of your life. And if you force that person, that child, to stay back in school until they learn how to read, you would think that it would only help them later in life.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be, because there's, this is the subjective versus the objective, and the subjective would be they can't read, and then they're failing, and then they get into, you know, those people you went to school with got into, oh yeah, I'm bad. I failed.
That's their, I can't be, learn. I'm,
yeah, that's
not,
their
I'm
thing.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's their thing. And that, you know, that needs to be. You get that attitude when they're older, but if you can deal with that when they're young, I got to tell you, I don't see any issue with that. All right. Speaking of school, we will see on the ballot next year a constitutional amendment to abolish elected state school board and replace it with the appointed commission. The governor would then appoint the members of the state school board. You know, I've asked this question. I mean, I can see both sides. I can probably argue both sides of having an elected state school board so you can have your voice heard. At the same time, are the people, I'm not saying the people on it now aren't qualified. I have not done my full research. I think they're probably do fine. But anybody with name recognition can get on the state school board. Should you be looking for people that are professionals in that world? Well, we'll be able to decide. We'll see that on the ballot coming up in 2020. Also, I mentioned the pay raises for teachers, 4% to 2% for other state employees. Also on the list, civil asset forfeiture. And this is one that often causes a lot of consternation. This idea that property or things are guilty, even maybe when they have not made a guilty, they've not found the suspect guilty. And there's a lot of, listen, 98% of the time, law enforcement's and they're on the right track. This is stuff that is ill-gotten gains. But you still, my argument even back and forth, and I mean, from district attorneys to sheriffs and everybody in between, I respect their opinions, but at the same time, too, I always worry about that 2%, protecting that 2%. Also, medical marijuana, going to a study. They're going to be looking into this going forward. Also, they passed a couple different bills for broadband access. This is something Governor Ivey talked about in her inauguration speech. And two bills signed into law. One will give broadband providers grant money to expand in rural communities. And another one is going to let, it says electric providers, use their existing infrastructure for broadband. Who would that be in the state of Alabama? Electric provider in the state of Alabama.
Takes me a second to think of what that company might be. You know, back to the marijuana thing real quick, with them putting this commission together. At first, when I saw that news come out, I was thinking, they're just delaying. This will never actually happen in Alabama. They're just putting it into this commission to kind of sweep it under the rug and get rid of it. But one great thing is Carly's Law was about to run up.
It was, which is, y'all, this is the extract for children that have seizures.
Yeah, some kids that have just awful medical, like you said, seizures and other things, that CBD oil that doesn't have THC, CBD oil that helps with these things, that's legal, and it's been legal for a few years now. Well, the term on that being legal was about to run up. So
wouldn't it still be legal now because the farm bill changed that?
I think so, but they did have to extend. When I was reading through, they had to extend Carly's Law specifically during this medical marijuana legislation. So that's one of the things they did alongside putting a commission together to study medical marijuana as a whole in the state.
Also, marriage licenses, they're now going to be certificates versus licenses. Listen, don't get me started. This has nothing to do with same sex or, you know, opposite sex. I would argue that having the state in the business, and I understand why it is for probate, but having the state in the business of saying whether somebody's married or not, they can validate a contract. Mm-hmm. But to me, you know, the marriage is inside a church and between, you know, those people and God. It's not, you know, not the job of the state, but that's probably an unpopular opinion. Also, they passed a backseat seatbelt law. I didn't even know that was a thing that you could. I know that had to be changed, but they did. On the things they failed to do, the one that the lowest hanging fruit I thought going into session was a lotto bill passing. Zero, nothing.
I thought if anything would pass this year, lottery, not, and it wouldn't legalize lottery immediately. I think a lot of people are misconstrued on that. That this would have put lottery on the ballot. So you think that's no lose.
It would be a constant. And even the governor, who wanted to dance around that when she was running for governor, said, yeah, well, I'd support the right of the people to. I mean, it's the easiest thing on just the merits of it to say, well, I'm going to give people the right to vote on this. And what they changed, though, is they then it wasn't really about whether lotto happened or not. It was more about who got paid in this deal, and we got taken off the rails there.
Because we're so used, during the lottery debate, we're used to seeing moral issues come up. We're used to seeing Republicans
say, morality of who got paid and who didn't get paid.
And that's what ended up being the failing of the lottery bill. So I think if you had to vote, if I had to vote on my most surprising thing to come from Alabama legislative session this year, I would say lottery not making it to the ballot is the most surprising to me.
All right, run down the list. Permitless carry, that did not go through. Again, I know there's a push. We've had people come on the show with us now that are pushing for a lifetime concealed carry permit for the state of Alabama, but that is maybe come up in this next session. Marijuana decriminalization failed. Also, the payday loan thing, and y'all know in my land of unpopular opinions, this is one of the places I land, I would argue that you need to make sure everybody knows the rules. Mm-hmm. Those are all pasted up in the place, posted up where people can see, you know, what the rate is, how often they have to pay it back, all those things. And then if people choose to do that, I would say give them the liberty. But they did not pass. They had a proposal that would have extended the time people have to repay a payday loan to 30 days. Proposal designated to give borrowers more opportunity to raise the funds to repay a loan. I would argue that those payday loan places need to post that information and make everybody aware of it. But after that, if you choose to take that loan out, you know,
it's on you, because the market is the market.
Well, you're in the minority then, because you look at polling around the state and people don't like it, but they couldn't get a bill passed for it.
But you look at these, they're predatory loans. They're called that for a reason. And somebody who's in a tight spot and really needs money, they'll go in and get one of these loans without putting going through the entire thought process of how they're going to pay that off and how much time.
Well, they need to make sure everybody has the facts. But if people argue that those people are wrong, those people are risking their capital.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to loan it out.
Right.
They're making a choice to risk their cap. Are you saying you should force these people to loan money? They're making a choice. At this rate, under this, they'll loan it. If not, they won't loan it.
Right.
Also, I love the fact that the ethics overhaul of the ethics overhaul failed to make it through the Senate committee, and the distracted driving law that we had talked about that would keep you from even touching your phone at all or like even looking at it, that went away as well.
Now, how do you square these two things? If someone in your back seat doesn't have their seat seatbelt buckled.
Right, but
you turn around and you're distracted trying to get them to buckle their seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
They can get you for the not having a
most likely
both distracted driving.
It'd be an accessory, yeah, okay. Accessory to that. I've argued many times distracted driving laws that we have should have been enough. Because whether you're texting or you're searching for a French fry covered in ketchup that just fell between the seat and the little glove compartment thing there, you're still distracted.
Either
I don't care
way.
Why you're distracted. When my family's on the road, just don't be distracted. All right, let's grab a call here before we run to the news. Fred is in Spanish Fort. Hey, Fred.
Hey, man.
So what you thinking? You want to talk some civil asset forfeiture?
Yeah, just real briefly for the public, I work in law enforcement, and I'm not trying to give you some legal dissertation, but I just don't want people misled that we're, taking people's hard-earned money and boats and planes and cars and jet skis. What it is an in-rem proceeding, so it's an action against the property. And granted, there is a lower standard of legal requirement, as opposed to beyond a reasonable doubt, there is probable cause. But you still have to prove probable cause. And
right,
the only
you
thing
find
I
the
to
thing
say about
guilty,
the
though.
Itself, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying you find the thing guilty as separate from the person.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to get to. You're operating under two legal theories, facilitation or proceeds. In other words, the proceeds, if you seize cash, you have to demonstrate or show probable cause that it was associated with criminal activity. And people still have the right to defend it if they say, well, my mm-hmm. grandma died and left this to me. Well, you're going to have to prove that. Or these were casino winnings or what have you. But if you can't, and we can show probable cause that, no, you got that from selling marijuana or cocaine or heroin or fentanyl or whatever. And the other part is facilitation. Like, let's say, we stop Dalton on a traffic stop and he's driving a 2019 Lamborghini and it's got 4 kilos in the back. Well, that's facilitation. He's using that asset, this thing of value, to commit a criminal act. So, yeah, I mean, just... So I just didn't want the public being misled that cops are
right.
Running
no, and Fred, I appreciate
run.
That. No, I appreciate your opinion. And like I said, 98% of the time, and if you listen to me any period of time, I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement, and I want to make sure we get all opinions on here. And it's one that just occasionally I butt heads with you or district attorneys or sheriffs. With all due respect to people that are my friends, I just have. It's the 98% of the time it's a slam dunk. I mean, the cases are obviously this is drug stuff or drug money. I get it, and I want that stuff taken away. It's just those kind of outlier stories that really don't seem to happen as much anymore. But some of the early stories,
I fully agree with you.
Some of the early stories bothered me.
Someone who spent 22 years in law enforcement, I fully agree with you. There are people and there are departments way off the interstate that do things that are shady, and they need to be held accountable. Hey, I'm a fellow citizen. I'm all about public accountability and personal accountability. Can I tell one short story on myself, on my own family?
Sure.
My grandmother had passed away, and my sister lived in Louisiana, and my dad, do not ask me why, he's been a straight arrow, he took cash. He took $35,000 in cash that was my sister was inheriting, and he told me about it afterwards. I said, what, are you stupid? I said, I never speak to my father that way, but I could not believe that he didn't get a cashier's check. He was afraid he was going to lose it because it was a single piece of paper. I said, you would have lost 35,000 pieces of paper or whatever denomination it would have been in, or you would have had to fight like a dog just to get that money back if a trooper or someone had pulled him over and taken it, because that looks shady driving around with $30,000 worth of money.
It does.
Happened to my own family, so please, I'm more than willing to tell him myself just to infuse a little common sense in other citizens.
Oh, and trust me,
don't
Fred.
Don't put yourself in a vulnerable situation.
No, and Fred, I appreciate the call, and you're right that it doesn't make good sense. It's not a smart idea, but then again, I don't think it's our job as a government to make sure people make good choices. I think if you want to have the liberty to drive down the road with $35,000 in cash on that, you should be able to. At the same time, I think in 98% of the cases, obviously, it's slam dunk. It's ill-gotten gains. We'll talk about this a whole lot more. Coming right back. All right, 855 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. About to wrap it up on a Monday. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Grab a call here before we do that. And Derek is in Fairhope. Hey, Derek.
Hey, you sure you want to go down this with me real quick?
Well, I mean, if we can do it quick, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right, so a little bit of background. Every time we talk to each other, we say there's things we agree upon and things that we disagree upon.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens to be one of the subjects that me and you disagree upon. And this is why. How can you, you know, as a citizen, you're supposedly, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Now your property is proven guilty until proven innocent. In any form of any kind of democracy with any legitimate law enforcement, does that make any sense? It is nobody's business what you do with your property. Now, I understand the argument.
Well, it sounds like we don't completely disagree.
It's completely flawed.
Yeah, we don't completely disagree then. I mean, because...
No. But, I mean, you know, it's also, too, you just did a segment where the sheriff who bought the beach house, you know, with prisoner food. I mean, this whole thing, man, right. This whole thing is just asinine. I can't believe that you have the guy from law enforcement defending it. How can you defend that position? It's nobody's business what you do with your stuff. It's yours. You earned it.
Yeah.
I understand the small, you know, small portion where, like, he's got $35,000. We think he's involved. I get it. Build a better case. Because there's always an old Russian proverb during the Stalin era, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. That's what we're running into with this crap.
Well, okay.
I love you.
So,
good day.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. Here, to understand, mine is a bit of a nuanced. I'm with you. And I had my gut reaction, like I said, I've had idealism, I mean, I've had pragmatism creep into my idealism over the last three decades, I'd say, in my political ideals. And in the majority of the cases, it's not just because I, you know these folks personally in law enforcement, but I've seen the actual cases that 98% of the time, these things are slam dunks. These are ill-gotten gains. But what puts me, I guess, on your watch list and on my friends at law enforcement's watch list is I'm not completely sold either way. I still have a part where I know that the kind of cases the folks I know are making are slam dunks that these people are doing wrong. But there is that part of me that goes, you know, you should be able to drive down the road with $135,000 in cash stacked up in the back seat and not have to explain why it's there. Mm-hmm. I know that is so uncomfortable in the way the system works, and with respect to the folks that have to do that every day in law enforcement, it's just one of those group of unpopular opinions I have.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's not black and white. I think there's a lot of gray in the issue, like so many other things, and think of the reason that this came about. It's because of gangs and mobsters mm-hmm. that are able to have all these high-priced cars and everything.
And in somebody else's name. And
mm-hmm.
all, yeah,
and they've put together so many of these RICO cases using these laws where they're able to, you know, take somebody's $150,000 car because they absolutely know that they got that in the drug trade or through some criminal mm-hmm. Gains. But I'm right there with you. If you're a law-abiding citizen who wants to go to the bank and take out your savings and drive across town and put it in another bank, you should be allowed
well,
to do
and
that.
Law enforcement will tell you, you can do that. You can do that. They're not going to stop you from doing that, but you need to tell them what you're doing with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they also say the number of people they've ever stopped and taken assets from that have no prior criminal record is like
slim.
Count on one hand. But still, you have the, I think, the right to make bad choices. At the same time, in the majority, overwhelming majority of the cases, law enforcement's on the right track. Hey, we'll pick this up at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher on the way next.